Everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Now, I could stop there, but that would be doing an injustice to this passage of Scripture. So let's continue. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. So Peter is writing these letters to believers, to Christians, to those early believers after Jesus had died and resurrected. These early Christians that had heard the gospel preached, and then they had returned to their hometown. So they actually came from other areas, they heard the gospel preached, and then they returned to their hometown. So places like Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so these believers were in places where they were very much new believers, where there wasn't, the gospel was just starting to be spread throughout the world. And it's very similar to us today, where these believers were understanding and received the gospel, and they wanted to proclaim the gospel and follow Jesus. But it was difficult. They faced lots of persecution. They faced lots of injustice and insults. Very, very unfair injustice, and were persecuted. And who here has been insulted for being a follower of Jesus? It's no different to thousands of years ago when these new believers were following Christ and experiencing insults. And so Peter is writing this letter to encourage these new believers and to actually just state the facts that don't be surprised if you are insulted for following Christ. Don't be surprised. Expect it. It's actually a blessing. And, living in a world where there is greater tension more than ever between the gospel being spread throughout the world and received and also rejected, we need to be encouraged that insults are a blessing and use that as a motivator to keep following Christ. And so how do we do this? How do we stay on this faith cycle in spite of things that might be thrown at for following Christ? Well, Peter says the first thing is we need to pray. We need to pray. And so this is the first part of the faith cycle. It's actually steering. This is a steering aspect of the faith cycle and seeking God. 1 Peter 4:7, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. We are first to pray. The meaning of this verse is to always have prayer on our lips. It's to be alert. It's to be watchful. It's to guard your heart against doing wrong or being foolish. It's this earnest, disciplined, self-controlled, intentional, purposeful prayer. It's a prayer that is steering your bike on the path of following Christ. And so once we have this really strong prayer and praying and being alert and disciplined, we stay on the course because we're seeking God. Can you see that we're steering in the right direction because we're following Him? We're alert, we're prayerful, we're watchful, we're guarding our hearts. And so this is the first part of the faith cycle. More than ever before, with a young family, with teenage children, I need to be really, really earnest and disciplined in praying for them. And probably this year, and yeah, definitely this year, you know, it's been I've got to really pray for them, pray for protection over them. These are teenage girls growing up in a very, 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 you know, difficult world. And so it's been earnest and disciplined praying. We're to pray, we're to steer on the right path. Seeking God in the responsibilities that He's given me. It's praying, Lord, give me vision, give me direction, let me lead well, let me follow You well, let me stay on the course that You have laid out for me. And so the second part of this faith cycle is love. And so this is the pedaling. This is the actual riding of the bike. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 to 9. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. So love. Love people deeply. Loving people deeply covers a multitude of sins. Love people by forgiving them, by covering people with love. When we love people above their wrongdoings, it causes us to be kind. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with the mistakes or we don't deal with the sin, but it just means we love above that. And as we do this, we will win people over to Christ by showing Christ love, grace, and mercy, because love trumps sin. When I was really seeking the meaning of life, and you know, I know now in my heart of hearts I was actually seeking for Christ, and at the time, you may not believe this, but every second word I would say would be a swear word, it would be a curse word. This was part of my language. And so the person who led me to Christ, she didn't judge me for my offensive and foul language. She didn't criticize me. She didn't say, you shouldn't be doing that. No, she loved me. She answered my questions. She patiently sat with me while I asked her about Christ. And over time, God spoke to me about that. And that fell away. I realized, I don't need to be speaking like that. Can you see how love trumps sin? Love trumps mistakes. And we're also to love people within the church in a similar fashion. You know, I was journeying with a woman over a number of years, and she called me one day, and I knew what was going on in her world. I knew that she was battling with different relationships. She was in her mid-20s, and she made a mistake. She had, you know, relationships with a man, and she ended up being pregnant, and so she called me and she said, oh, this is what's happened. Now, I could have responded with judgment. I could have said, what are you doing? But she knew what she had done, so that wasn't necessary. And my first response to her was, well, at least you chose a really good-looking guy. And she said, oh, you know, you and one other person are the only two people who did not judge me. In fact, there was only myself and one other person that responded with love. And how can I support you? How can I love you through this? How can we journey and do this together? And through that relationship with her, through supporting her through that pregnancy, I can declare and say that she is an incredible mum. She is a solo mum. Yes, she's had to face consequences of going that path, but she is passionate for Jesus more than ever before. And she is serving Him. She is glorifying Him. She's doing things that are fit with who she is. We love people above their mistakes. We love them through that. We see them through that. I love how, we're reading this passage of scripture that is written by Peter, and Jesus Himself loved Peter above His denial of Jesus. We read in, you don't have this on the that's okay guys, but in John 21 verses 15 to 17, this is where Jesus appears to Peter. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." So Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Earlier on, when Jesus was going through the time of, being led to His crucifixion, He denied Him three times. Yet Jesus knew the plans and purposes He had for Peter. He knew that Peter would be that rock that would start the church. And so He saw Peter above the mistakes that he made, and He loved him, and He called him to the plans and purposes that He knew were for Peter. "Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep." I just love how Jesus shows us how to love above mistakes. And when we're looking at people, when we're in relationships, it's actually asking God, show me what you see in this person. Show me their future. Because God has good plans for each person. And we can call out those plans in those people. We can say, you know what, you can live above these things. God has incredible things for you. I'm going to love you so you can see that and fulfill that. So we are to love people both in the church, both out in the community, through our actions that are based on love, acted out with godly wisdom and counsel and grace, so that we help people find Jesus and we help each other mature and grow and lead blameless lives. The third part of the faith cycle is serving, is balancing. So 1 Peter 4 verses 10 to 11. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself is speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, or glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. So how are you using your gifts to serve and love others? As you're balancing on this faith cycle, you're steering, you're seeking God, you're peddling, you're loving, you're balancing by using your spiritual gifts and your natural gifts. And this balancing part of the faith cycle is, it's desiring the spiritual gifts so that you can actually impart them to other people, but also balancing in the way that you've got to operate according to who God has designed you, according to who you are in Christ. And so when you're on balance, you're actually serving in ways that fit with who you are. If I was to serve in the AV team, I would be off my bike. I would be completely off balance because it's not my fit. I have no technological brain wiring ever. Like, it's just, you either have it or you don't have it. Right. And so, but you know what? My giftings are just listening and compassion and other things. And so when I'm operating out of those gifts, then I'm just balancing and I'm cruising and I'm just riding the space like really, really beautiful. And so balance in how you serve. Desire the spiritual gifts. Desire the spiritual gifts. And serve him and balance in his way. I love, it just brings me such great joy when I see people serving him in the ways that just fit. I love the anchor. I know she's in kids today. She serves in AV, she's in kids, she's interning with us, she's helping out in the office with the accounts because she's studying in that area. She's in youth. Such a joy to see young people find their fit, find their place, find their balance. Crystal, in leading the worship, we have young people. My goodness, how old are you, Crystal? 20? Yeah. Wow. Isn't that amazing? At 20, is for someone to be leading us into worship. But that's who she is. It oozes out of her. It's part of who God has designed her. And she's just balancing beautifully in the gifting that God has given her. So, the next part of the faith cycle. The interesting one that might get us off course. Insults are a blessing. So 1 Peter 4 verses 12 to 14. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad that his trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. So you can imagine, you might have started with training wheels on this faith cycle, and now you're on your racing bike, you've got your aerodynamic helmet, you're in your Lycra shorts, you're racing down, steering on course, on following Christ, you're praying, you're loving people, you're serving, it's just amazing. And then out of the blue, there's like bugs in your face, or the car tries to knock you off your bike. These are the insults, these are the things that can be thrown at us, which we are to expect, and it's actually a blessing. You see, if we're not being insulted or persecuted, are people really seeing Christ in us? And so when you know everything's going so well and you're earnest in your prayers and you're loving people and you're serving and you're staying on this faith cycle, expect to have insults. It's a great blessing. Such a great blessing, because people know that Christ is in you. It's a blessing. I just want to explain a little bit about this word. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of the word blessing. So God doesn't desire for us to suffer for following him, but it is a part of truly following him. Did you hear that? God doesn't want us to suffer for following him, but it is a part of truly following him. So as you find yourself in situations where you are ridiculed for following Jesus, it is a blessing. So there's two meanings of the word blessing. I just want to give some clarity around that. So there's blessing when we are insulted for following Christ. It's not a good thing if you are insulted for doing wrong. Let's clarify that. And also too, that you are blessed when you trust him. So there's numerous scriptures where where we see that it's God's nature to bless. Blessing in the context of 1 Peter is the inheritance of the kingdom of God, to inherit eternity with God through standing firm in our belief and faith in Jesus. So that's the blessing in 1 Peter, where we know we have eternity with him. Blessing, or blessed in the way God blesses, is also through both natural and spiritual abundance of resources. I just want to read a few scriptures that I've brought out just in relation to this blessing, and just to receive this, so you get a real good picture of the nature of God, that he's actually a God of blessing. So I'm just going to race through these. Exodus 23:25. You must serve only the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 17:7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Matthew 5:6-10. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Psalm 3:8, victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. Psalm 29:11, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Can you see, when we're on this faith cycle, when we come to the point where we are insulted or persecuted, that is a blessing. We're inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And God is going to bring more blessing as we continue to stay on the faith cycle. And so when we get to this part, it's actually realizing and recognizing that, and saying, God, you know what? Whatever is thrown my way, I'm going to stay grounded. I'm going to stay on this faith cycle. And I'm going to praise you because this is a blessing. And I'm going to thank you that you have natural and spiritual blessings that are continuing, going to be added to me. And so I'm going to stay grounded. I'm going to stay firm. I'm going to keep praying, keep loving, keep serving, keeping on the faith cycle. If I can invite the worship team, that would be fantastic. So celebrate and stay on the cycle. Celebrate and stay on the cycle. I think there's a picture of the faith cycle, guys, if you could put that up, just to have a visual. So we start off with prayer, love, serve, the blessing, the insults, the blessing, we celebrate, and we trust God, and we come back around again. So this last part of 1 Peter, trust God. Keep your grip on the handlebars. Don't let go of God. Hold on tighter. When we press into trusting in God more, this is the opportunity to deepen your faith, to really know and experience that he will never fail you. Sometimes when things try to get us off course, or to steer us off course, we need to press in more. We need to really press in and trust God. And know that he will never fail you. Know that whatever has been throwing your way, that God will bring victory through that situation or circumstance. As we celebrate and stay on the faith cycle. And you will experience this close, loving, perfect relationship with Christ. You will be effective, mature, fruitful, and blessed. These are all principles of the nature of God. To be fruitful, God says be fruitful and multiply. God is a God who is a God of blessing. God is a God who desires us to be mature in being his friend and to be effective, sharp followers of Christ. Just like riding a bike, you know, if we just steered and didn't pedal, we wouldn't go anywhere. And so the cycle is such a simultaneous pattern of praying, of loving, of serving, of trusting, of standing strong when insults are thrown our way. Church, can I get you to stand? There's two things that I want to do before we close. This faith cycle is most clear through the life of Jesus himself. God's Son, who is God, was sent to die to take on all our wrongdoing, all our sin for us, all our mistakes, that we would believe in him, that we would receive his forgiveness and be in his presence for eternity. Jesus lived this faith cycle. He prayed to his Father. He prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently. At times he prayed all night. He fasted. He prayed. He loved people by forgiving them, by healing them, by doing miracles so that people would believe in him and our Father God. He served people in doing all these things in love. He used the spiritual gifts to serve people, to love people. And he was insulted. He was criticized. He was judged unfairly, continuously. But he rejoiced. He celebrated. He stayed the course of doing the will of his Father. He kept his trust and communion with Father God. And in Christ's most intense time of suffering, the hours before he knew he would be crucified, in his wrestle to go through with the Father's will, knowing he would endure excruciating physical pain, but worse, experience a momentary separation from his Father, a momentary absence of his Father's perfect love. He prayed three times to God to make another way possible. And through his pouring out of his heart to God in prayer, in relationship with his Father, his trust deepened. He was strengthened by his Father to face the cross. Jesus' death and resurrection was God's plan so that you and I would believe in him, so that you and I would confess our need for him, confess our wrongdoing and follow him, to receive his forgiveness, to receive his perfect love, and the best blessing of all, to see him face to face in heaven for eternity. We are designed to know God. From the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man and then woman to be in relationship with Christ, to know his love, to trust him, to live this faith cycle, to know him deeply, to know that he will never, ever, ever fail you or leave you. And so, church, today, I want us to pray together. Pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died and you rose again. I thank you that you were the perfect sacrifice for all of my sin. Today, I confess and I repent of being disobedient to you, and I receive your forgiveness. And today I declare that you are Lord of my life. I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed and eyes closed, if that was the first time that you have prayed that prayer, the word says to publicly declare that you believe in him. And so I want you to raise your hand so I can see it and then you can put it down again. For those of you who are here today, you have known Christ, but you've been off course. You've been riding off the wrong path. You haven't been following God. And today you want to come back on the right path, riding your faith cycle. If that's you today, raise your hand. I will see it. You can pop it down again. Be bold. Be courageous. This is between you and God, declaring that you are following Jesus. Thank you, Father. You that it doesn't matter if we sometimes go off course or are thrown off course. I thank you that you are a God who just loves it when we renew our passion for you, when we get back on track, when we are burning with such an incredible passion in praying, in seeking your will, in seeking your way, in loving your people, in loving people into your kingdom, in serving you in ways that you have called us to serve. Oh Lord God, we just lift our hands to you and we renew our passion for you. I'm going to open up the altar as we close off the service with a song in a moment. I want to open up the altar for those people who need prayer, who just need to come forward and make that public declaration of, you know what, I'm just going to go all in to this faith cycle. I'm going to go all in renewing my passion.